Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text number 49. Savayayam Brahma Mahat Vim Rigya. Kaivalya Nirvana Sukhanubhuti. Priyaksaridva Kalu Matuleya. Atmarhaniyo Vidikrid Guruscha. Sa, that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Va, also. I am this. Brahma, the impersonal Brahman, which is an emanation from Krishna. Mahat, by great personalities. Vimrigya, search for. Kaivalya, oneness. Nirvana Sukha, of transcendental happiness. Anubhuti, the source of practical experience. Priya, very, very dear. Surit, well-wisher. Va, of you. Kalu, indeed. Matuleya, the son of a material uncle. Atma, exactly like body and soul together. Arhaniya, worshipable. Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vidikrit, yet he serves you as an order carrier. Guru, your Supreme Advisor. Cha, as well. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself, because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss, sought by great saintly persons. Yet he, the Supreme Person, is your most dear friend and constant well-wisher, and is intimately related to you as the son of your maternal uncle. Indeed, he is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable, yet he acts as your servant and sometimes as your spiritual master. Purport, there's always a difference of opinion about the absolute truth. One class of transcendentalists concludes that the absolute truth is impersonal. And another class concludes that the absolute truth is a person. In Bhagavad Gita, the Absolute Truth is accepted as the Supreme Person. Indeed, the Supreme Person himself, Lord Krishna, instructs in Bagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, matak paratram nanyat. The impersonal Brahman is my partial manifestation, and there is no truth superior to me. That same Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acted as the supreme friend and relative of the Pandavas, and sometimes he even acted as their servant by carrying a letter from the Pandavas to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Because Krishna was the well-wisher of the Pandavas, he also acted as guru by becoming the spiritual master of Arjuna. Arjuna accepted Krishna as his spiritual master. Shishashteham sadivam tvam prapanam. And Krishna sometimes chastised him. For example, the Lord said, Ashochan anvashochas tvam pragyan vadam shabashase. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. The Lord also said, Kutas tvam kajmalamidam, vishame samapastitam. My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? Such was the intimate relationship between the Pandavas and Krishna. In this way, a pure devotee of the Lord is always with Krishna through thick and thin. His way of life is Krishna. This is the statement of the authority of Sri Narada Muni. Savayayam Brahma Mahad Vimrigya Kaivalya Nirvana Sukhanubhuti Priyasurid Vakalu Matulena Atmarhaniya Yo Atmarhaniya Vidikrit Guna Kuruscha. The impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself, because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss sought by great saintly persons. Yet he, the Supreme Person, is your most dear friend and constant well-wisher, as intimately related to you as the son of your maternal uncle. Indeed, he is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable, yet he acts as your servant and sometimes as your master. Krishna takes up a lot of time in the Bhagavad Gita discussing whether he's personal or impersonal. And Arjuna keeps on asking him throughout the Bhagavad Gita, which is higher, the person or the imperson? 12th chapter. Arjuna vacha evam satatam yuktaye bhaktistvam paripasate ye chap yaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vitatama. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in devotional service or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? Sri Bhagavan Vacha Mayavesha Manoyemam Nityukta Upasade Sharaya Pariyopetas Teme Yuktatamo Mataha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who worship the impersonal Brahman are superior to those who worship my personal form. Just seeing if you're awake. See if you could catch it. The Supreme Personality of God had said, those who fix their minds on my personal form are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be the most perfect. This material experience is an experience of another facet of impersonalism. As in Prabhupada's mantra, he came to deliver us from materialism and impersonalism. Materialism is a kind of impersonalism, that the only person that really counts in the whole universe is me, whoever I may be. Everything else is just paraphernalia to decorate me. The sun comes up in the morning simply to shine on me. And if it didn't shine on me, then there's no use if it's coming up in the morning. It's useless. Krishna has to speak 700 verses in Bhagavad Gita. As a matter of fact, the whole Bhagavad Gita is aimed at convincing us that God is a person, that the Supreme, because as Krishna says in the 9th chapter, idam tute Guyatamam pravaksham anusuyave jnanam vijnanam sahitam yajgyatva moksha se shubhat. Idam te guyatamam. It's very confidential that Krishna is a person. Krishna doesn't want to make a big deal about that in the material world because everyone came here to escape him, to avoid him, to forget him. Therefore, he doesn't try to impose himself on everyone. Krishna is the highest fortune to get Krishna's association. But if someone doesn't want that benediction, that fortune, then Krishna doesn't impose it upon someone. else he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute Krishna consciousness, even to the unwilling. But he's Supreme Person. By the performance of Sankirtan Yajna, it said that one at least will get rain in this age and therefore be able to eat. But that doesn't mean that necessarily one comes to the nation. So Krishna says, Idam tute guyatamam pravaksham anushuyave. I'm speaking to you because you're not envious. Everyone in the material world is envious. That's why we forget Krishna, because we're envious. We're envious of Krishna. Why should Krishna be so great? Why should Krishna be unlimited? Why does Krishna own everything? Why is he so greedy? He has to control everything. Can't he relax a little bit? Delegate some power or something? Or make a few donations? Why does he have to control everything? So this is called enviousness. Why is Krishna so great? Why are we so small? This is fate. I should have been great and Krishna should have been small. Or maybe you should get a little smaller and make me a little bit bigger. So the whole material world is imitation. We're imitating that we're something that we're not. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna not only says he's God and we should fix our mind upon him, but he keeps on saying, stop imitating. Shreyan sadhamo viguna paradharmo sunustita svedani nidanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. That it is better to perform one's duty even imperfectly than to perform someone else's duty even perfectly. Destruction in the course of one's own duty is better because it follows someone else's path is dangerous. So even in the practical workings of the material world, Krishna advises us not to imitate others. Even when we get a material body with the idea of becoming important, because that's why everyone gets a material body, they want to feel themselves important, the center of someone's life, someone's consciousness. They want to be noticed. If you ever go and distribute books, especially the Asians, when I was distributing books, and JFK International in Los Angeles. There's an international terminal and there are thousands and thousands of Asians coming through. And what Asians are expert at is just ignoring you. As if you're not even there. So if you stand there for half an hour and 5,000 people pass by you and they act as if you don't even exist. It's a little disturbing after some time. You start questioning, wait a second, I seem to be here. So everyone wants to be noticed. Even they want to be noticed as something abominable, but at least they want to be the worst. If they can't be the best, then they want to be the worst. They want to get their name recognized. If it takes killing one more person than the last mass killer, then I'll do it. Just get my name there. But this is all imitation in the sense that this body actually has certain qualities. A male is generally a male. A female is generally a female. But nowadays, the men want to become women. The women want to become men. Everyone's Shudra, but they want to act as if they were a Brahmin, a teacher. Prabhupada would always criticize the so-called teachers. When they were acting as teachers, but they were actually students. One Indian professor of Indology, Hinduism, came to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I'm a professor of Hinduism. So Prabhupada said, what is Hinduism? And the man said, I don't know. So Prabhupada turned to Sarup Damodar and said, Sarup Damodar, he claims he's a professor of Hinduism. but he doesn't know what Hinduism is. What do you call that? So Sri Damodara said, he's a cheater, Prabhupada, he's a cheater. Luckily he was an Indian, so he realized, yeah, I am a cheater. At least I get paid for it, though. So similarly, everyone is trying to pretend that they're something they're not. This body, but at least if they perform their duty, then they at least have some recognition of reality, what actually, what kind of body they're in. Rather than pretending they're something that we're pretending already that with this body, which we're not, but then we're pretending that this body is something which it isn't either, also. So that's even more bewildering. So Krishna says, at least find out what your duty is, and then if you execute it according to my injunctions, then gradually you'll understand that you're actually not this body. You'll come to the Brahman conception of life, and then you might rise up to accept the fact that there's a Paramatma guiding you, that you're not the controller. He's doing the activities in the material world. And then if you can finally give up your envy entirely, then you can accept that there's a person who is unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly strong, unlimitedly famous, unlimitedly wealthy, unlimitedly renounced. Now, even if someone is insignificant, but if they're a little stronger than we are, then we become envious of them. Why is this man stronger than I am? I'm going to practice until I become stronger than he is. Now I can lift 1 pound more than he is, therefore I'm greater than he is. Even I have one more butterfly in my collection than the last man. I think I'm important. So everyone's just trying to get a sense of feeling important, feeling themselves to be the center of the universe, and forgetting the Supreme Person. They can accept that God, maybe he's impersonal. Because then I can compete with the impersonal. One day I can become God. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inspired to go and visit the Brahmin's house in Varanasi and meet with this Mayavadi sannyasis there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to show humility, which is what the Mayavadi sannyasis are lacking, in this material world, everyone comes here to pretend that they're God, and God comes here to pretend that he's a devotee of God. That's the difference between God and an ordinary conditioned soul. So to show humility, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat in the place where people would wash their feet. In India, the sannyasis especially, they walk barefoot, and therefore when they enter into some house or some place where they can wash their feet. You don't find that in most common people's houses in the West. Imagine if people came in their house and washed their shoes. The house would be a lot cleaner. And if they took off their... Of course, we don't want them to take off their shoes a lot of times. Because they haven't taken off their socks in a long time. In any case, he sat there and he exhibited an effulgence of 10 million suns. Exactly what that looks like. We don't have a picture, so we can only imagine. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, they saw, oh, here's a man. He's more effulgent than 10 million suns. He must be Narayan. They didn't give him much credit for being Narayan because they all think they're Narayan. They just thought, well, maybe he's got a little head start on us, realizing he's Narayan. He's got a one-step start on us. And even after seeing that, then Prakashananda Saraswati came over and offered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his hand. He said, my dear sir, you look like you're a good sannyasi. I mean, you're more effulgent than 10 million suns, so you must have been studying something about the Vedanta Sutra. So why don't you come? Why are you sitting in such a dirty place? You seem to be depressed. See here, they're thinking Narayan is depressed. Yeah, I am only exhibiting the effulgence of 10 million suns. And I met someone on the street, he had 10 million 100 suns. So therefore I'm depressed. I'm behind. No, he said, you look depressed, but why don't you come and join us? We don't mind if you're so bright. We need a little light in the house anyhow. So he came, and Prakashananda Saraswati gave him some lecture, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated them, saying that you people are all, your philosophy is all nonsense. It was just a made up philosophy by Sankaracharya to bewilder everyone in Kali Yuga, the atheists. And they all admitted, yes, you're right, that our philosophy is nonsense. But because we're part of the Sampradaya of Sankaracharya, we officially accept it. But we know it's illogical. So the point is that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the effulgence of 10 million suns, still the Mayavadi sannyasis, they thought he was just an ordinary person. So God himself is coming, displaying something extraordinary, and they're all taking something ordinary. So that's the nature of envy. Kamsa, he heard that this little boy lifted Govardhan Hill with his left pinky, and he's saying, so what, he lifted one little pebble Govardhan Hill, talking about minimizing someone's activities. So he defeated one harmless water snake, Kaliya serpent. So that's called enviousness. No matter what the person does, it's insignificant. You can't impress him. Caused Kongsu a little anxiety that maybe this person has some power. After all, he just killed Kulyavalpita, an elephant that could defeat 10,000 other elephants, and he just killed the wrestlers, so maybe he has something going for him. But why should I be afraid of him? Just like Toshala, Mustika, Chanora, actually it was Chanora and Mustika who fought against Krishna Balaram first. So Krishna Balaram said, my dear sir, I don't think it's a good idea that we fight. After all, we're just little cowherd boys. We fight with our friends in the jungle sometimes. But, you know, you're big, strong wrestlers. It would be very disturbing to the crowd to see this ourselves, who are just young boys, fighting against these strong wrestlers. But Mustika and Chanura said, wait a second. We know who you are. You just defeated this elephant, Kulivapita, who could fight against 10,000 elephants. He had the strength of 10,000 elephants. We know that you're actually the source of the cosmic manifestation. But Chanura, myself, we're the strongest, so you should fight against us. Yet, two wrestlers, they may have been very powerful, but they realize they're going to fight against the person who created the whole universe. Guess what?